We have the lovely Jimmy in the house, Jimmy Kelly from Jimmy's Bikes. Jimmy, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Good morning, everyone.
You have a few people there tuned our way.
Absolutely.
But listen, they can look at you on webcam. Give them a little wave there.
Hi, everybody.
Used to be great and back in the old days in Ear FM. You could nearly come in your pyjamas, but we won't be saying anything like that.
Now, nice and comfortable.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy, we're going to talk about cycling and safety in cycling. Now,
absolutely.
I was talking about a few weeks ago, I was saying to people about how we need to be vigilant on the roads. There was an accident a couple of weeks ago and a teenage boy had a very, very unfortunate accident and he was on a bike. Now, in fairness to him, he was after getting off the bike, but the accident happened anyway. No helmet, right? That's the first thing. No helmet. We're all guilty of it. I have a bike myself. That's how I met you, Jimmy. My Victoria Pendleton.
Absolutely.
I know, I'd be going around carrying that around like a trophy. I've got a Victoria Pendleton. Anyway, yes, and I started cycling myself going back about 3 years ago. And do you know what I started to notice? In the winter time, I'd be cycling down a main road where I live and all the leaves on the trees, on the ground, and how many times I skidded. And then I also noticed that because I had gotten off the road, because you get a bit scared in the winter to be cycling. Now, our own Aoife O'Connor from near FM is a cycling legend in here in the radio station, and she's been knocked off her bike and everything. She still gets back up and gets onto it, but yeah, you have to be so aware of the showers.
Oh, that's the main thing, absolutely. You know,
there's
a lot of different things there, and look, I think first of all I have to say cycling is a great way to get around.
Yes.
And I think cyclists like your colleague, they deserve a lot of credit for keeping it up, especially this time of year. But as you said, weather conditions do make things particularly difficult. So we do really need to be careful at the moment, you know.
I was even driving in this morning and yesterday driving home, and I see these people, like majority of them are men. Now, a friend of mine, Linda, cycles all the time as well, fair play to her. And she would do the Malahide Road, no problem, every day. And you see men doing it every day and all. And, you know, I do sometimes, I remember I tried to do the Malahide Road, I just couldn't get up one of the hills, and so I gave
that
up.
We'll get you there, don't worry.
I stayed local after that, Jimmy. Now, I love to go down to the shops and stuff on my bike, it's great. Yeah. But like that, these people, you know, motorists really, really need to be vigilant towards these people, because they have to realise that at any given moment they can move out onto the road to avoid a shower, and rightly so. Because if you go into that shower, you're snookered.
Yeah, no, it is. It's difficult, and I think what's very, very important at the moment is, and I'd like to highlight the RSA, and in particular the RSA website is very useful. They've got some great cycle safety documents, which are very informative for cyclists, and they've got some very useful tips for sharing the road with drivers, as you touched on there, Leslie. I think it is, and going back to that incident you were talking about, I think it is very important to be aware of what's on that website, and in particular, you know, I'd see it as something that should be maybe introduced as a module for transition year students.
Very
good.
You know,
everyone cycles or will cycle at some stage, I'd like to think. So, you know, it's not just like jumping into a car and driving around. You need to do a course on that. You need to be prepared. And I think it should be the same for cycling. So, you know, it is. It's one of those things. And absolutely, at this time of year, it's more important than ever.
It's very important. And after a few accidents and a few little things that I've seen, I just can't emphasise it enough. And people that are doing it for their health, fair play to them, because it's a fantastic... Like, I mean, cycling to and from work, and there's so many businesses too that are giving grants to people to buy really good bikes.
Oh, yes, indeed, you'd be touching on the Cycle to Work team there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been a huge part of the success of cycling in Dublin, that, and obviously the bicycle scheme in the inner city. It's on the up, and I suppose that means that the volume of cyclists is a lot more than it used to be, but also, in fairness, the volume of drivers is a lot more than it used to be. So I think it's really just about mutual respect and again, I think sharing the road and that view that everyone has a part to play, I think is most important, you know.
I think that most people that are driving are going, bloody cyclists in the way, fecking holding up the traffic. I'm guilty myself, and I was, till I actually became, I can't call myself a cyclist, obviously, because I'm not. I did tackle the Malahide Road.
Yeah.
I do cycle around low, as you know yourself.
Yeah.
But in saying that, before I got a bike, I would have been guilty of that, saying, oh Jesus, get out of the way, and so forth.
I think it's beneficial if you've been a driver and then you become a cyclist, because you do know how to use the road very well.
Yeah.
But also the other side of the coin, if you're a cyclist, you know, you need to take the driver's position and see that, you know, if you are going to make a sudden move or anything like that, that you need to give signals and you need to be very, very clear. If you need to make eye contact with drivers, let them know that you're coming out and, and be visible.
Yeah.
You know, simply your high-vis gear, your lighting, especially like over the last week or so with the level of fog that we've had. You can imagine how difficult it would be for a driver to see a cyclist 10 feet away.
Absolutely.
You know, without that kind of thing. So,
this morning.
Yeah, this morning to be a classic example of which,
Another thing cyclists tend to do is, and you don't, I can't blame them, they tend to get onto the path.
Yeah.
When the traffic is really bad. And that's fair enough. And I don't blame them for that. But like, we all have to be aware of what's going on around us in any way. But if you are a cyclist and you're on the path, you have to be more careful. And do you know what happened to me there a while ago? I was cycling along and it was dark. And next while somebody came out of their driveway, walked really fast.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I nearly knocked the woman into that, next week. You have to be, this is what I'm saying. These little things, cars reversing out.
There's so much on the roads, you know, that absolutely, you know, if you're on the path, it's obviously not ideal for a pedestrian. There is parts of Dublin where you can, you know, have both a cycling and a pedestrian route, and that's fine. But absolutely, you know, driveways, people walking on the path, and that, you know, it's not exactly ideal. But there are, in all fairness, some parts of the city where there's no other option.
Yeah.
You know, with the condition of the roads, the volume of traffic, or lack of cycle lanes. So look, that's a work in progress, and I think things are improving, thankfully.
Yes.
But for the moment, we all need to keep our eyes out.
Cycle lanes, Jimmy, they were going great there a few years ago. We don't see so many of them. They're not putting many more in place.
No. The infrastructure is very much a work in progress. And look, there is a couple of initiatives coming down the line. But, you know, it is something that definitely needs to be looked at a little bit more. As we touched on, with the scheme in place, there is a lot more volume of drivers or cyclists on the road, excuse me. So, you know, ultimately we need to look at an infrastructure to support that, you know.
Yeah. Now, we're going to talk about maintaining your bike in a few minutes.
Absolutely.
And what gear you need on you and your lights and so forth. And I mean, people get into the technical side and you put your puncture repair kit. We need to talk all
don't
about
leave
stuff.
Home without it.
But just before that, I wanted to ask you about the bike scheme in Dublin City Centre. It's absolutely a great idea.
Yeah.
Had them on there talking about it when it came out for us. Love it. But what do you think of seeing it coming out into the community?
Well, you know, it definitely works in the city. You know, the original model was to, you know, facilitate people getting through the city. You know, it's quite difficult to drive a car from maybe the north side to the south side and back and forward, you know. So it just made it a little bit more seamless. And an absolute success, as you said. And there's a lot of other European and further afield countries now that are rolling out the same scheme.
It's huge in Paris too.
Absolutely.
And Belgium,
absolutely.
I think it is.
It's building up all the time, you know. And I think Ireland is the gold example of the scheme. So, you know, I think there's a lot of credit due for that. But it's one of those things, you know, that if we did roll it out a little bit further, you know, it would potentially get a lot more people into cycling. And that's what it's done in the city. From my experience working in the shop, you might have individuals who've used that scheme and they've got to like the bike and ultimately then decided that they want to get their own and, you know, it's opened a whole new world up to them. So,
yeah,
you know, it's very beneficial. And
have
I
you
think
found that?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
So you found that you had a few people that have availed of the bike scheme in the city centre and then decided, okay, I want my own?
Yeah, they've enjoyed it and said, look, it's time to get my own one now. So it's getting people onto bikes, it's promoting cycling in a big way. So look, the more they could roll it out, the better.
Yeah.
And initially as well, you know, there's other pretty big cities in Ireland that could benefit from a scheme very similar. So I think that would probably be the next point of call.
Yeah. One of the reasons I got a bike was because me and my sister joined a spinning class.
Oh, yeah.
It was hilarious. But it was the quickest way I ever lost weight in my life.
Very, very good.
Yeah, I think we'd done it for 3 weeks and we did it. Hi, Amanda, if you're listening. We did it for 3 weeks and we went 3 times a week and we were in an awful state after it.
Look, if you could do that cycling to work, you know, how successful would that be, you know?
I lost nearly a stone in 3 weeks.
Yeah,
and it was coming up to Christmas and I was thrilled with myself and getting into the old dress.
You know, obviously it's going to save a lot on... you know, vehicle taxes or fuel, but also your own fitness is probably the main thing and the most beneficial thing of the lot. So look, it's great, and the more initiatives, the more schemes and things like that can be rolled out, I think the better.
What's your opinion on electric bikes?
Electric bikes, Look, it's the kind of thing that it's probably been a lot more successful in mainland Europe than here. I think in Ireland we've been a little bit slow to react to the electric bike scheme. But I do think that it has its place, as does every type of bicycle for every different individual that are out there. And if it's a means of getting someone onto a bike, if they can use it to get themselves up to speed and eventually go without one, happy days. But no, I think, initially it was one of those things that was kind of an afterthought when it comes to the Cycle to Work scheme, but you can actually purchase an electric bike under the scheme now. And
wow!
Yeah, absolutely. Put it this way, it's a lot healthier than driving. And it is, in all fairness, it's a pedal assist. So it doesn't do all the work. You still have to do a little bit yourself. So.
Do you not remember I told you that I hired one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
all the kids on the road were queuing up outside my house to have a go with Leslie's electric bike. It was hilarious. I fell off it and everything. I remember I was cycling down to London and I was going down, there's a big long road, and I thought I was like the wind in my hair and everything booting along because it was going downhill.
They are capped anyway, I suppose it's a little bit fair to say, but they are capped at about 24 kilometres an hour. There is European legislation to make sure that the electric bikes that we have here are quite safe. So, I think anyone can really get on one, and it's probably one of the more accessible types of bikes if you haven't been on a bike in 10 years or 15 years, which is a case for a lot of people. It's a stepping stone to get you back in the game, I suppose.
When I got back on the bike, it was the old saying, it's like riding a bike, you never forget.
Well, that's what they say, the proof is in the pudding, I suppose. There's a few people there that might argue different.
Jimmy, would you say, I know that you can, if you buy your own bike, I was talking to you before about it, I was considering putting a motor onto mine. Do you provide that facility? What's your opinion on that?
It's one of those things that if you've already bought a very good bike, it is something that you can retrofit. There's a lot of kits out there, and I have to say they're quite good. So it is a means that if you found something you're not getting the use that you thought you'd get out of it, for example, that you can convert them over. So that's possible. But look, I'd say and what we try to do in the shop is we try and get you onto a real bicycle first. And if you can do that and you can get on something that's a little bit easier, a little bit more efficient to cycle, well, then I think you're a lot better off, So I think the benefits of having a normal, regular bicycle are a lot more. And I think that should be the first point of call for people. But alternatively, look, if it's a way of getting in, I think the electric bikes definitely have their place.
I suppose like every kid gets a bike at some stage. From being a mother, you can't wait for your child to be cycling. My son cycles to school. Well, a lot of the time he cycles to school, or he cycles down to his mates and stuff like that. He has two helmets and they're under the stairs. I'm terrible, Jimmy. I should be forcing him to wear them, but they're gone before you can get them. So it's up to the parents to get them into the habit. What's your opinion on that?
I think parents do need to be very, very careful regards the helmets, and I think they need to ensure that the child is wearing them. I think it's something that I suppose when we were growing up, it was something that was probably left to one side, but more now than ever it's particularly important. So I think it's really down to the parents to maybe have a helmet themselves and be a good example when they're cycling, and ultimately just ensure that the child is following suit. I think at this day and age, thankfully, helmets are a lot more popular. They're becoming a little bit more stylish, not as much as a faux pas as they once were.
the first ones they were rough, weren't they?
Yeah, so look, things are on the up in that respect. And I think though, especially for the younger kids, I think getting them into the habit early is particularly important. And I think what's best is a good example from the parents in wearing them would really help.
Is there any designated areas in Dublin for people to actually go and have a cycle?
If you haven't cycled in a long time and you're thinking you want to maybe take yourself or the family or whatever out, you could recommend somewhere like the Irish Centre for Cycling there in Malahide, or
where's that?
In the Malahide Castle domain.
Really?
There they'd have some bicycle rental facilities, and you could use that area there.
That.
Yeah, there's a lot of places in Dublin like that.
Let's check them out.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that, you know, if you want to see how you get on, see if you've forgotten or not, it would be a good place to start.
That's
absolutely
a really good thing. Yeah. So there are designated.
There is. And you know, places like Marley Park and Phoenix Park, they all have their own initiatives there. Yeah. And it's, look, it's nice and open plan. It takes people away from the road environment. Lots of open space to...
Do you know why I'm asking you that question? Because just, you know, the way we see a lot of people, women power walking and or jogging, walking half and half, and or else people that do jog and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's free as well, and it's a great way to get fit.
Yeah.
But I suppose another thing is the cycling, and sometimes people are limited to that. You can't jump on your bike and bomb it around the place.
Not really, but look, I don't think it's really about bombing around the place. I think it's just about getting out, you know, doing what you can do, keeping a steady pace, and just getting out, and absolutely, as you said, maybe using it as a social outlet as well, maybe taking a cycle to a coffee shop and a cycle back, you know, and that's there's a lot to be said for that, you know.
I used to cycle down and get me it was stupid Egypt like me, because I'd say go down to the shop and just get bread and milk,
yeah,
and I get back and that would be my cycle, because I was really into it after the spin and I loved it, and then I'd end up buying loads of messages in the shop
defeating the purpose.
Yeah, I'd be crippled. But no, like that, it's absolutely fantastic, Jimmy. The maintenance of the bikes are not, it's like you said, there's no taxes and there's no petrol involved, and it's great.
No, I think, you know, as you touched on, I think the condition of the bike is particularly important this time of year. Like, obviously, there's a lot of different areas, but there's two very, very important areas in particular. I think, first and foremost, your brakes. You know, they can be very, very ineffective when it comes to wet weather. You could have a bicycle where the brakes are working fine on a dry day, and, you know, if the bike is a little bit old or the pads are a little bit worn, things like that, and that, you know, when it comes to a rainy day, they can be responding completely differently to what you expect. And that's when people can get caught out, you know.
And so, skidding and stuff like that.
Things like that as well. And you've just touched on the next point there, absolutely. So your tyres as well are very important. With the weather that we've had and the level of rainfall that we've had recently, you know, we do see that the roads are a lot greasier than normal, especially with a lot of leaves and things falling onto cycle lanes and paths and roads. So it does make for a very greasy and slippery surface. So I think, you know, having some sort of decent visible tread on your tyres is very important. And if you can, and a lot of more modern tyres now will actually have wear indicators on them, so if you can use those as well.
Wow, that's great.
That'd be very, very good. But look, you know, a general tip for everyone is just make sure that you've got a decent tyre pressure in. It's recommended on the side of your tyre, and also making sure that the condition, there's no bulges, there's no holes or slits or cuts, and also that the tread is going to have some level of grip to you.
Jimmy, will you tell us about these new tyres that are out? They are unpuncturable tyres.
Well, that's a very, you know, I have to take a very political stance on that one. I don't think that they're unpuncturable. I think it's a little bit more puncture resistant.
Okay.
So they're just a little bit more robust than what you'd normally have. And look, that absolutely helps, especially for a cyclist who's in on a day in, day out kind of thing. You know, it's nothing worse than getting caught out with a puncture in the rain and trying to fix something like that on the side of the road.
Yeah.
So look, they take as much risk out of it as possible. And they're just a little bit more strength, a little bit thicker than normal. So thankfully a lot of more modern bikes are coming in with these kind of tyres on them. But look, we'd be always ready to fit something like that onto a bike for someone if they're commuting, you know. Or even if they're not commuting, if they're out in the weather, you know, on the weekends and things like that, you know, they are very strong, but also the compound and the tread of the tyre is very good for the kind of conditions that we see at the moment. So very safe in that respect as well.
Right, so say you have Joe Soap cycling into work, okay, and he gets a puncture and it's lashing or whatever.
It sounds like a bad morning.
But listen, it's happened to people all the time.
Oh, I see it all the time, yeah.
What's your advice to them? Is that a horrible question?
Not really, no. I think, first and foremost anyway, I think your tyres are your best preventative measure in that respect. But also, look, you need to have some sort of kit with you. You can buy a sealant can, which is very, very quick. It'll get you maybe as far as into work. And you
sealant
can
get
there. Oh, yeah. You would have something that you'd actually spray into the tube, and it will act to temporarily solve your problem, you know. But, you know, I think anyone who's buying a bike, especially under the Cycle to Work scheme, because you can avail your safety accessories
as
your bicycle. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They're also redeemable under your scheme. you know, a little kit maybe with a tube and tire levers, which save on using the two spoons as we all used to do. And a little pump maybe just means that you can get yourself down the road, you know.
Yeah.
We'll have some tips on our Facebook anyway on how to actually change a puncture if it's been so long since you've done it.
Yeah, Jimmy's Bikes on Facebook,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, so that will be something that we'll put up just to make sure that people...
Because that's a big fear for people.
It is, and it's a barrier as well. You know, mm-hmm. if you haven't changed a tyre in a long time, you don't know how to do it or have never done it before, and you're thinking of obviously taking your bike on a 10 or 15k cycle into work, you know, it is a barrier. So if you can get that sorted, have your kit ready and also be informed on how to do it, I think that's very important, you know.
So people out there that are listening to this broadcast, Jimmy, and they have their old bikes in the sheds, cobwebs all over them and everything like that, and they think they're for the skip or they're for the bin. They're not. And like,
not at all.
What's the situation with people that have bikes and they've like gone to left them to die?
Yeah, like if a bike has been left inside in a shed, for example, you know, usually it doesn't take a whole lot to bring it back to life.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't write them off just yet, you know. A bike is something, especially with the kind of quality that people are buying now, especially with the likes of the Cycle to Work scheme, that you're buying something that should last you a long time. And with the scheme, you know, it's run every 5 years, so a bike should last 5 years plus, I think. So, you know, don't write them off just yet. And absolutely, if it's a means of, you know, at a lower cost, getting a bike service as opposed to buying a new one and getting you out on the road and mm-hmm. getting you going, I think it's a great way to get fit and get out and about, you know.
It is. And as well, but we need to emphasise on the safety of the helmets and the gear that you're wearing.
There is. There's a couple of very important things, I think, that everyone should consider when you know, cycling. So obviously, the helmet is first and foremost. You know, and helmets, thankfully, as I said, they've become a lot more stylish, a lot more affordable. And it is something that I think is a good example for younger people there if they see guys using them day in, day out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The other things are maybe some high-vis gear. You see a lot of high-vis jackets. Thankfully, they are usually waterproof and weatherproof. Mm-hmm. So they have secondary benefits as well for the cyclist, but obviously the visibility is key.
Yes.
And then other high-vis accessories, things like your armbands, your Sam Brown belts, which are named after the man who invented them.
Sam Brown belts?
Oh, yes. You know the belt that goes along your chest and around your waist? Yeah.
Your Sam Brown belt.
I want one of them.
Yeah,
so absolutely. That's a good one for you. And lights, obviously, is a very obvious one for people as well.
The lights are crucial, especially mm-hmm. for you to be seen to the motorist.
Yeah. Now, and lighting these days, again, just like most things in technology, have moved forward significantly.
Yeah.
And most lights that you buy, even the more inexpensive ones now, are LED.
Mm-hmm.
So,
really?
Oh yeah. So
brilliant.
Compared to the halogen bulbs that we were used to, they're 80% more efficient. So they're not eating away batteries.
Excellent.
You know, and you're going to get a lot more longevity out of them. And the light quality as well is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something that you're, you know, and I think for a lot of people, they can be reluctant to buy lights because, you know, they can be expensive or could have been expensive to replace batteries all the time. That's gone with. That's over now. And as I said, 95% of the lights out there now are LED. So thankfully, it's a lot easier.
Mm. Jimmy, we're coming up to Christmas. And we all know the mammies and daddies, right, would be encouraging Santy to bring bikes for their kids.
If they're good enough, you know.
If they're not, they're nice.
They have to be good, yeah.
So what's your advice to parents out there that are buying Junior a bike?
Well, you know, I think, you know, as we touched on, parents do need to be very, very careful regarding helmets. You know, I think they need to be vigilant that the junior is using a helmet all the time and getting them into the habit very, very early.
Mm-hmm.
And for the kids, I think they need to make sure that the helmet is on Santy's list.
Yes.
Okay, if they're writing a letter to Santy for a bike, they need to make sure that they ask Santy for a helmet as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be happy to oblige.
Matching helmet.
Absolutely, absolutely. And an initiative that we run is in relation to kids' bikes. Any kids' bike that we sell, mm-hmm. we give a free kids' helmet with.
Well, hey!
So that's a cycle safety initiative that we do down at Jimmy's there just to make sure that, you know, everyone's 100%.
Jimmy, you're really hands-on in the community. I say you know all the kids.
Well, look, we've done a couple of things over the... over the last 2 years, we've been in a lot of the schools doing talks, and absolutely,
yeah,
in a day in, day out, especially in the summer days, and being so close to Malahide Castle there, and we see a lot of the kids in. So yeah, it's great to see. It's great to see them outdoors and cycling rather than indoors on the Xbox or PlayStation or what have you.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know,
and there's so many more kids that are starting to cycle to school as well.
Thankfully so. And again, you know, that's something that is again a work in progress. And if everyone, and in particular the younger guys, are following the cycle safety documentation on the RSA and making sure that they follow the tips that we've given, I think that, you know, there's no reason why it shouldn't be a great success and shouldn't continue growing, you know.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, it took me nearly a year to get you in here.
Yeah, busy man. You know, that's a good sign.
And when are you going to come back? Because okay, I have you now, so I'm not going to let you go without promising that you will come back.
Yeah, look, we'd be happy to come back in the summertime maybe and talk about some more lighter topics. You know, it's great to be in at this time of year because, you know, now more than ever, it's particularly important for the cycle safety issues that we've talked about and the few tips that we've given. But we'll have a look at it again in the summertime and see what we can talk about, maybe some of the cycling events that are going to be happening and some of the bigger things that are going on during the better season of the year.
Right, we've a minute left. So 1 minute, can you in 1 minute run through really quickly what to do if you get a puncture and you're on your way to work or somewhere important? Go on quickly, nutshell.
This is a bit unexpected, but I'll try my best. Obviously, you have to take the wheel off.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get the wheel off, then. The kit that I was talking about, having a set of tyre levers and a tube and a pump, are very important.
Mm-hmm.
If you can use your tyre levers to take one side of the tyre out, just to get access to the tube, you want to just take the old tube out and replace it with a new one. But before you do so, obviously make sure that the tyre is in decent condition. So that'll mean running your finger along the inside of the tyre and looking at the tyre to make sure that, you know, the torn or the piece of glass or whatever the culprit may be isn't still lodged in the tyre.
Wow, yeah,
so
you
check
that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that, you know, people would get caught out on. So check the tyre, make sure it's okay. Take the old tube out, obviously, as we said, throw it away. And with your new tube, put a small bit of air in it, push it into the valve, and then just tuck it into your tyre. Relap your tyre over that. Give it a small bit of air and make sure that the tube isn't caught anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And really just put it back on if you can then. And you know, if you need to, if you're not sure, stop into the closest bike shop, get them to just double check it. They're always happy to oblige.
That's a good idea too, the closest bike shop.
If you're far enough away, as I said, those couple of tips, just you don't need to take the whole tyre off, just one side of it, take the tube out, check the tyre, put the new tube in and proceed to pump it up. You know, that should get you as far as you need to get.
Yeah, and make sure the culprit is still there.
Or he's gone.
Or the culprit is gone.
He's still there.
Okay, Jimmy, you're always helping the kids out in the community, and you know what, it was lovely that you actually eventually a year later came in.
Delighted to do it.
Well, you know something, you made an idiot out of me now, because a few weeks ago I was after been telling the listeners I have Jimmy coming in, yes, and he never came in.
Yeah.
But sure, you came in and you fulfilled
you
fulfilled your promise, and thanks very much. That half an hour talking flew in.
It did indeed.
And there were so many more questions I would have liked to ask you, but I live in hope that you will come in again.
Absolutely.
Jimmy, thanks a million.
No problem.
And your continuing success to yourself and the lads and Jimmy's bikes.
We'll keep going, absolutely.
Okay. Well, that was Jimmy Kelly there from Jimmy's Bikes. You can catch Jimmy on Facebook, and he's always there to give free advice and help you out with all your bicycle needs, and it is crucial. And motorists, please be vigilant for the cyclists, please. And cyclists alike, you know, watch out for those people coming out of their driveways, the joggers, all the rest of the people who are out there using our streets and our roads. Okay, it's time for me to say adios. Oh God, I hate going. What a great programme, and thanks to everybody who texted in.